Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. It is indeed Monday, and it is another live edition of the High Squad. I'm still trying to get my stuff together. I'm joined by my brother from another podcast mother, Mr. Super Kevin Campbell. It's a light one tonight, but it's going to be a good one regardless, Casey. Boom.
Oh, yeah. We've got to do it. It's got to be done.
And we're doing it in the loving memory of one of the best gooners of all, and that is little Lucci Gardner Nicolau, who passed away, as you all know, at the weekend. She was the ultimate gooner and a very special young kid, and she joins all of her other little gooners, look at them all, in doggy heaven. So thank you, everyone, for joining, and thank you so much for all of the wonderful messages that you have sent to me over the last couple of days. KC, thank you to you and Amanda as well, for all the love. And it's just, you know, just shows you that there are a lot of good people out there that care.
Nice. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And Lucky was a definite gooner.
Definitely.
She always watched the games with you, didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember the good times, Soph.
Yeah, so. I do. And the truth is that, you know, she would want me to carry on. And, you know, I think for a lot of people out there who don't have kids, dogs become your kids. Dogs are your kids. They're your family. They're part of your everyday life, holiday season and all. So, you know, it's one of those times that's tricky, even with our team. And wow, whew, here we go. KC, heavy moment. So I titled this show a little bit differently twice today. The first one was, are we in a relegation fight? And then the second one, when I started making the thumbnail for YouTube, was very much another nightmare on Arsenal Street. But one of the things that I wanted to kind of have for the show tonight was a little bit of an arc, so we can not kind of be crazy about the moment, but understand where the moment has come from, right? And
happy,
this is,
yeah,
right? So this is where I need your wisdom and I need your intel, because a lot of what you've said I've been thinking about over the last few weeks in terms of Arteta, the team, what we've been. I think we've talked a lot about on this show how this isn't something that's happened overnight. It's years in the making, yeah?
Yeah.
So welcome to everyone in chat as well. And we're going to get to all of your comments because there's going to be a ton of them, right? But one of the things I wanted to start off with, and I haven't even listened, but Amanda sent me a voice note to play too, and I'll play it without listening to it, which is very dangerous in itself, Casey, as you well know.
Yeah.
But I wanted to kind of arc the story for you in terms of where I wanted to go tonight, because it's a question of how the mighty have fallen. It's happening to Arsenal and Manchester United, two of the greatest teams in Premier League history, two of the teams that before Chelsea and Manchester United's new money came along really owned everything.
You mean and Man City's money?
Man City, sorry, yes. Man City's money came along. They really did own everything, and not own it from a winning perspective, especially Manchester United. Let's not fool ourselves there. Mm. But from the sense of players, think about the players, Vieira, Petit, Bergkamp, Henri, Pires, Overmars. I mean, you know,
Lundberg.
The list
Campbell,
just goes.
You know,
it goes on Ashley and on Cole, and on and on. Yeah,
Adam Bold. You still had that back four in place at the time. Seaman in goal. Your Lehmann, Lauren. Right. You know, they roll off the tongue, don't they?
They do. And even United had the same, didn't they, with Brucey, yeah. Steve Bruce and Pallister and some of those players that kind of morphed in towards the beginning of the Premier League and were part of that journey. And then you had Cantona, of course, and even players like Lee Sharp and legends like Ryan Giggs, David Beckham. But, you know, they had a lot of the homegrown players, Nicky Butt, Phil Neville, Gary Neville. You just had these teams that built from the foundation. And I liken it to this too, Casey, because I wanted to bring this around to, you know, greats that have fallen. Tiger Woods, he fell, he hit rock bottom, and he came back up and he won the Masters. Mike Tyson, he fell to the very bottom of the barrel, has come back up, and now is almost this lovable figure that people really root for.
And respect,
And respect. Tyson Fury, you know, said some horrible things in his career. showed redemption and apologized and has come back to a point where now people are actually rooting for him to beat Anthony Joshua given the chance. Manchester United, fallen. How far have they fallen? Look where they've gone. Look where they're at right now. Out of the Champions League again. Haven't won a Premier League since Sir Alex Ferguson retired. Barcelona, you're covering La Liga. They are not too far off some of these dangers, Casey.
They're mid-table, so.
And so I wanted to start then with these subjects for Arsenal. It is possible to bounce back, but you need a plan, you need leadership, and you need all of those things to help you get there, Casey. Burnley showed us how to play like a team at the weekend and to keep believing in each other and that the game wasn't lost. And then they took advantage when we went down to 10 men. There's so much nonsense being yelled at and spouted right now when it comes to Arsenal. And you know why? Because when you're so great, when you are at the pinnacle and at the very tippy top of the mountain, when you fall, it's hard and it's thunderous and the world hears it. So I want to start this show and I want to work on this show with you on three subjects: the myths, the moths, and the mosquitoes. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I think you'll appreciate where I'm coming with this one. Let's start off with the myths, and then I want you to add to any of these and all of these. The myths. The move to the Emirates was going to make us competitive again and have us competing in the Champions League and maybe winning one in time and winning the Premier League. That Robin van Persie, Alexis Sanchez left because they were money whores and money hungry. We even heard Bellerin say out loud, though, that Sanchez was too hungry to win. Okay? So for me, that's a little bit of a myth. The other myth, that Arteta and Unai Emery are to blame for all of this. I think that's a big myth. And then the other big myth that we were sold last summer was from Mr. Josh Kroenke himself. I would say, be excited. KC, let's start at the beginning before we get to the end of what's going on with our club. The myths. What do you think of what I've said?
Well, name them one by one and I'll add to them. Because I think it's important to deal with them one by one.
Okay, and let's play this voice note too, just in case we miss anything. I'll play PG's voice note too now, just in case.
Hey, everyone. So sorry I can't be on the show tonight, and what a show this is going to be. I do not foresee much positivity coming from anyone, but
you might be surprised,
I'm probably
Casey.
The minority in thinking that I don't want Arteta to go. I want Arteta to stay and build his own team. These players are letting him down big time, but what I will say is that I do feel he needs to blood some kids. I've said this for a while now. Aubameyang isn't doing it. Put him on the bench. Don't care, he's the captain. To be fair, he's not acting like a captain much at the moment. So that's my view on it. I'm sure most of you will disagree with me. Anyway, two things really. First of all, to Kev, I really wish Tyrese a speedy recovery in his injury. So sad, and he was doing so well at Stoke, but hopefully he'll come back better and better when he's recovered from the injury. And to myself, who has lost her precious Lucci, I'm so sorry. Big hug. You know how we all feel for you and Tony. And just hope that you're okay. I miss you all. I will be back on the pod soon. It's just life and busy. Anyway, everyone listening to the Hybrid Squad, thank you so much for continuously supporting us. And as I always say, always Arsenal. We may not like them at the moment, but we'll always love them.
All right. Thanks, PG, for your message too. And a little bit. Lovely message. That's a good one from PG. And she sounds solemn. It's a solemn time. It's not an easy time for any of us or anybody.
It's hard, Sophie, isn't it? It's hard for... Do you know what, Sophie? Can I just say this?
Yes, mate.
And I think
you can
it's
say
important,
anything. You're
right?
A legend.
No, but I think it's important to just say this part. It's very difficult at the moment for Arsenal fans to take. Because fans know what a good team is like. The fans know what a good club feels like. And that isn't there anymore. And we're clutching to anything. He needs to do this. He needs to do this. He needs to do this. Mm-hmm. Sophie, if we're honest, he's done everything bar put all the kids in at once. Mm-hmm. He's done everything bar that. So the bottom line is, and I know we're going to cover it anyway, the bottom line is, the players just ain't good enough. They're just not good enough.
So hold that, because that's part of
our myths.
Yes. So the myths, the first one was, because it, you know what, Casey, it's really important to understand where we're at today and how we got here.
100%.
Okay, cool, because it hasn't happened overnight. The myths, the move from the Emirates was to make us competitive again. Total myth, right?
Well, I have a saying for this, Sophie. Mm-hmm. We got told that down the river, but sold down the river. Because we got told the earth, yeah, we're going to compete with the Europe's finest. We need a bigger stadium, we were told, and we're going to be at the top table. And what do you see? You see a culture of losers. You see a culture of people who can turn around and say a fellow professional is too hungry to win.
Can you believe that?
Well, you know how I felt about that.
I know you can't.
I cannot believe. What are you doing in the building if you're going to turn around to a fellow pro and say you want to win too much?
I mean,
in the Arsenal building? Because this is what it's like at big clubs. This is where all the pressure, that's why you get paid the money, the big money, to handle that pressure, go over that white line, Sophie. And I know we've battled about, is it Arteta, is it the players? But at the end of the day, no matter who's manager, Sophie, they've got to go over that white line and do their job. That's the bottom line.
I agree with you.
They're not doing it.
I agree with you. And a lot of people are probably expecting fire from me tonight. And maybe I don't have the energy for the fire because a lot of my energy has been spent, as you can imagine, over the last few days. But I wanted to come this from a measured discussion, Casey, because the fire we've given, right?
Yeah. And now we're getting smart on it, haven't we?
We've got to start examining what the truth is. And you and I have been looking at truth serum and truth data for a good couple of weeks now. And I've heard some Arsenal podcasts go crazy and lose their minds and look like they're going to lose veins out of their necks and stuff like that. But it doesn't change the situation. It doesn't alter the facts and what's going on. And it doesn't instill a calmness in the fanhood, if you like. You can have your opinions.
Sophie, do you know what it does? It actually makes it worse.
And for the opposing fans too, it fuels them, unfortunately.
Yeah, because when people lose their mind and they're ranting and raving, it's actually looking right at us. And it's been looking at us season after season after season, Sophie.
I know. And this is why I really wanted to come at it from this point of view with you today, because let's look at the myth. So the move from the Emirates, I love your phrase. And there's a couple of people that have commented on that in chat too. The other one, so we move to the Emirates, we build a team, we have a team that somehow year on year, Casey, survives and makes top four, couple of seasons, maybe three seasons, definitely two seasons, we could have won the Premier League. Would you agree?
Should have won it. 100%.
Should have won it. And, you know, Liverpool could have too, but if Gerrard hadn't slipped. But it just, football's just weird like that sometimes, Casey.
Sophie, we never put ourselves in that position that Liverpool were in.
The extra players.
Right? We never put ourselves in that position. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Sophie? I am, do you know what? You're such a darling. I'm so pleased you mentioned that. Because do you know what, Sophie? If we're going to talk truth, let's talk truth. What did that tell us, but a lot of people never got on it, about the culture at the club? The culture at the club wasn't to win,
right?
Or else we would have won one of them, I guarantee it.
We would have. The one that I think stings the most is definitely the Leicester year, and I because I think we all, after the we've, and again, not to sound like a broken record, we've talked about it on the show, but the Danny Welbeck go, once that went in, I think we all believed, my God, this is it. We're going to do it. We're finally going to do this. And we're going to do it with this team, right? And, you know, we signed...
What happened?
We didn't have the depth. And the players mentally just can't see it through.
And for years, and look, I'm not gonna. This isn't about digging anybody out. This is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Arsene Wenger always came out and said he's got a good dressing room. The dressing room is good. He always came out and defended the dressing room. But the bottom line is that dressing room. If that was a Vieira-led dressing room, they would have won the league. If it was a Tony Adams-led dressing room, they would have won the league.
Right, but it was a dressing room of a player that said that another player was too hard on being competitive to win. So that tells you everything. And shame on Wenger for not readdressing that attitude in that dressing room as well. So I'm going to get to the second one because we've got a lot, because I've got to get to moths and mosquitoes too. The RVP Sanchez left because of money only. They didn't, Casey. They did and they didn't.
We know that. Do you know what, Sophie? And this is the crazy thing. It's easy for the club to make the fans think that they left for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because it protects the club.
It's good PR, isn't it, Casey?
Sorry?
It's good PR.
Good PR, of course it is. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we offered them a contract and they left for the money and da-da-da. No. The bottom line is, Sophie, the club lacked ambition. Let's tell it how it is. The club lacked ambition. And that's why a lot of the top players started to move and they started to go to Man City's and Man United's. Why? Because they were ambitious.
Yep, yep.
We were getting our carcass picked by the better teams.
Yep, yep. And you can even put it to, I know someone just said that Nasri left for money. Nasri went on to win at Manchester City. Clichy went on to win at Manchester City. Fabregas went on to do better things at Chelsea and Barcelona. I mean, he didn't have a great time in Barcelona. Ashley Cole was definitely money at the time, but that's because he was looking at the modern game around him. And really, can you blame him? If you're moving for a new job and you want to go to a better company, you're going to try and get the best deal for you. You've got to look at this now, guys, from a holistic point of view. This is a cultural, institutional issue that has led us to this moment and this time. KC, I think one of the biggest issues is, and you know, I'm not happy with Arteta, but I don't blame Arteta, right? That's truth.
Yeah, yeah.
But to blame all of this on Mikel Arteta and Unai Emery is a myth. And it's that wrong. Is that not? Okay, KC, I'll let you have the floor. Wrong. That's wrong.
No, it's wrong. It's wrong. You're right, Sophie. Because you know what, Sophie? And I keep reverting back to, for 10 years, everybody could see what we needed. Everybody could see we need a centre-half and we need a centre-midfielder. We've needed that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in a decade, Mikel Arteta comes in, he gets one transfer window and tries to address the problem. Why couldn't Arsene Wenger do it? Why couldn't Unai Emery do it? I'm not sure what money he had to be able to do that, but we got our priorities wrong, I'm afraid. So we did. Mm-hmm. We got them wrong.
Yes, we did. And that moves me on to the Josh Kroenke comment. I think it was last summer when he said, we should be excited. We're very good at marketing, aren't we? I mean, that new video that came out, the Adidas one, is really cool. Swanky. Any brand would be proud of that. We're rocking. Marketer's dream. I mean, we're really good at slogans. And the We Should Be Excited slogan, he knew what he was doing then, because what they do is they throw their weight into the transfer market. They buy a couple of players. But what they don't do, like Chelsea, is they don't get a Kai Havertz and a Warner, Tino Warner, and a Thiago Silva, and an X, and a Y in one window. We've built it year on year, haven't we? First, I think, with Santi. Then we got Mesut. Then we got Alexis Sanchez. And then we kind of got into the dross where we paid almost 40 million for Xhaka. We paid almost 40 million for Mustafi and, you know, did those kinds of deals and stuff like that. But we've never been a team that does it in one hit, Casey. Go on.
Do you know what? Let me see if you can remember. There's one transfer that sums the club up. Luis Suarez wanted to come to Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. Plus £1. That's brilliant. That's another great, yeah.
No, that sums Arsenal up, Sophie.
Imagine what we could have done if we'd have just given them what they wanted.
We would have won the league. Give them 50. It don't matter. He was out. He wanted to come to Arsenal. But off a derogatory £40 million. That's taking, no disrespect, that's taking the piss.
But you know what? That brings me to my next issue when it comes to myths that we're this, and someone put it in this family, where one more myth, Arsenal was a Pramod's hitting it on the head tonight, I tell you. But we're actually so arrogant.
Yeah, but you see, Sophie, what comes with winning trophies and having the history that we have? There's an arrogance. There is a certain arrogance to Arsenal fans because whoever we get linked to whose name isn't quite in the lights, he's rubbish, he's this, he's not an Arsenal-type player. But we're seeing the likes of Southampton, Burnley and all that outplay us right now, Aston Villa. And if you put their names on paper and you put our names on paper, who looks the best? We look better. But unfortunately, Sophie, I've said it before, the game isn't played on paper. It's played on that green turf, right? And our culture is, we don't have a culture. It's shocking. Yeah. So that's why a lot of these lesser known players are shining now. Because you know what, Sophie? The first thing you've got to do is work hard. Forget your skills. Forget it.
KC, do you remember when everyone thought, I remember saying, you know what, I'd take Gary Cahill at Arsenal. I'd take Gary Cahill.
Yep.
And that was 3 seasons ago now, wasn't it, when he was leaving Chelsea?
Yes, it was.
I said, you know why? He's won a lot at Chelsea. He's been in the first team. He's been around world-class players, world-class coaches. And, you know, he's not done quite yet. The player isn't done. And we could do with someone like him. But, oh, no, we want Chiellini. You know, we want all these players that we're never, ever going to get, and it's never going to happen. And we just always find ourselves in that position. Okay, those are the myths. Everyone has been joining in on the myths. Let us know what other Arsenal myths you think we've been sold that have led us to this point.
Can you put some of them, a couple up?
So I'll yes. See. Yeah, yeah, I'll let's put a couple look. Of them up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think, let's see, here we go. One of Sulak. Arsenal spent money. They just wasted the invested money in the wrong place. The board is the problems. And you know what, though, Casey? I want to bring that back to a comment that, let me see right here, because it's an important one about this myth that we haven't spent the money. And someone, yes, Danny Alves did want to come for free. That was the, here we go, from Alex McCarthy. In Josh's defense, Josh Kroenke, because I mentioned the Be Excited, they've handed over potentially 130 million. I think they've done a little bit more than that, to be honest, Casey. So that's another one.
Yeah. Look, again, Sophie, for 10 years, we needed a centre half and centre midfielder. 10 years.
This is a good one. For years, Arsenal have been filling one hole and letting two others open. That's a brilliant comment.
Yeah, and it's true. Listen, those two positions, we talk about the spine of the team.
Mm-hmm.
We could have got Van Dijk from Celtic. Yeah. We could have got N'Golo Kante. No, didn't want to do the business. And that's the bottom line. So once you fill those, finally, after 10 years, we get Gabriel and Thomas Partey. You stick them two in that team when Leicester won it, we win the league.
I agree with that. Our good friend, thanks for tuning in, DJ Tony Perry. We may have to get you as our DJ for our Christmas party on the 23rd of December. We haven't actually asked you yet. You're probably really
lots
busy
of love
DJing
to,
some
lots of love
world
to Mama
event.
Perry.
Yes, we're waiting for Sue to come on the show. But myth, Arsenal don't have money. Just look at our wage bill. Look at how well Leicester have done things compared to us. He has a point, doesn't he, Casey?
Yeah, but again, Sophie, when Leicester signed these players, we don't know them. Tui, we don't know who Ndidi is.
That's what we used to do so well.
Exactly. We don't know Pereira. We don't know these guys. Sophie.
No one knew Martinelli either. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Sophie. At Leicester, when they buy the players, they buy the players, one, because they're hungry. We don't buy the players because we buy the player because he's a name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I heard a fantastic analogy over the weekend on Granit Xhaka. I got asked, what is he best at, Kev? What is his best position? I'll be honest. I said, I don't know, because he's not a holding midfielder. He's not an attacking midfielder. And he's not a midfielder who would create. So Sophie, what is he? He's just a player who sits in the midfield who ticks the ball over.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna get to that. And I agree with Josh from another good friend of the show, Burkamp Wonderland. Josh, thanks for tuning in. Get the likes up, people. We would appreciate that too. And to everyone, including all of our regular listeners, thanks for tuning in tonight. This show is always for you. Get your comments coming in, whatever you want to say. We'll put up as many as we can for KC. But I did want to bust through these myths, moths and mosquitoes, because I think it is very important in terms of who we are today as a football team. Right, the moths. Start off with the most important moth of all, KC.
Yep.
Wenger, stay too long.
Yeah, listen. Love the man. We all love him. We know he done a fantastic job. But let's be honest, Sophie. After that FA Cup win where he said he's going to make his decision at the end of the season and we beat Chelsea, everybody thought he's going to hang his boots up. That's it. And he probably could have even gone before then. But I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack. That was the perfect time. He just won another trophy. Perfect time for him to either move upstairs or leave the club and get somebody else in, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. What does he do? He goes and signs another 2 years. And that dressing room culture suffered again. That's what happened. It suffered again.
Casey, why is it though? Again, even with Mikel, and I've asked you this question, it's one that you and I have gone to blows with over time, is why is it even Wenger and even Mikel couldn't translate that FA Cup form to the league? And I've heard you and I've seen you say, same managers, same players, they get a little out of them and then boom, they're gone.
Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you this. Let me just explain this to you and everybody listening. When you play in the cups, it's a boost. Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's a knockout, winner take all. You win, you move on. And it's sure, isn't it? You win, you move on. Right.
Is it an adrenaline rush, Casey? Is it an adrenaline rush?
But you get up for the cup because it... You know, it's different to the league.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the league is so hard to win, Sophie, is because you've got to do it week in, week out, day in, day out. All of a sudden, you get a cup game and you're up here, and then you come back down to earth, and then you got to grind again because you're not going to play well every time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play against different systems. You're going to play against different players. You're going to play against a lot of players who are lesser than you, in a sense. But, Sophie, do you know what the key driver is? They are going to battle you for 90 minutes. And if you haven't got that battle in you, they are going to expose you. And this is what's happening to Arsenal right now. We're getting exposed by opposition. And let me tell you this, Sophie. I'm doing the Arsenal-Southampton game at the Emirates.
Wednesday. I know you are. I know. For Amazon, and by the way, everybody.
Amazon Prime. I'm going to be pitch side. And let me tell you something. If anybody's watched Southampton,
oh, they're so
they
good.
Are going to be coming to the Emirates and they are going to press us all over the pitch. Watch.
All over.
And if we're not up, if we are not prepared to fight, we're going to get embarrassed.
I agree with you, Casey, wholeheartedly. That is a game we could easily lose, like a 4-0, 4-1, because their press is so phenomenal. Their break is so phenomenal. Their talent on the flanks is exceptional. Even through the middle, they have control of the ball. Huizenhuizen is a good coach who's evolved this team. And this is why part of me always comes back to you and says, if the Brighton manager can get them out of a hole and move them up, if the Southampton manager can kind of get them out of a hole and move them up, if Dean Smith can get a tune out of this Aston Villa team and move them up with the infusion of new players, why is it that Mikel can't do the same with the mix of new players and with what he's inherited? That's only where I start to question when I look at what some of these other teams have been able to achieve being and have fallen so far. That's why I come back to that question.
Yeah, Sophie, but this is the thing. When you look at Dean Smith and you look at all the others managers, they've got hungry players. They are hungry. Arsenal players seem to me like they don't give a damn. Not all. And we've seen some of the new players perform. But it's the collective. We've seen Gabriel be pretty consistent. We've seen Kieran Tierney, after plenty of injuries, look decent. He hasn't looked so great in the coming week, the last few weeks, but we know what he's got, don't we? We know Partey's a top player, etc. The problem is, Sophie, when you're carrying people who let you down, you have to want to do it. This is the difference, and that's why I say it's when they cross that white line, Sophie, because you can do all your talking in the newspaper. You can do all your talking you want on the training ground. You are paid to get on that pitch and perform. That is it.
So this comes to, I'm in the middle of my myths, moths and mosquitoes for KC, but you guys are making so many great comments. I'm going to break my content strategy here for just a second. But yes, Billy Kit Kat, take your boots. I know that that's just another angle for you to sign Tyrese to Rangers. So we're watching you. You know what? Alex brings up another good point. Southampton, the one about bogey teams in recent times anyway. And yes, why not? KC is manager. Someone wants you in the dugout as well, KC, by the way. But I think that's a really good point, is that didn't George Graham, you guys were already revved up. You guys were already psychos. Mm. The lot of you, madmen, to win.
100%.
Didn't George Graham, though, have a lot to do with that? Some people have talked about fear of losing. So Tim Howard on the NBC broadcast this weekend, and I thought it was a brilliant point, and I was like, I'm gonna ask KC about this one. He said he played with certain players and captains where it scared the bejesus out of him to not have a good game because of the repercussions and the wrath of what that would mean. And Amanda made a point on her Twitter about captain. One of our good friends of the show, Steph, did the same. And a lot of people have been talking about how we've not really had leadership. We haven't even really had a figurehead of a captain, probably since what? Vermaelen, Fabregas, maybe? I don't know. At least they were consistent captains in the team for the time that they played for the club. And chat's going to correct me if I'm wrong anyway.
You're going to get corrected.
I love that. I love being corrected. But Super Kev, isn't that true, though, that what Tim Howard said, not playing well, you would have to sit in a room, in a dark room with Tony Adams and answer for yourself?
Well, I think Arsenal, we were different at Arsenal. I'll tell you why, Sophie. We wanted to win. Forget losing. Losing can't come into your psyche. Of course, we can lose, but we're winners. If you want to be a winner, You can't think about losing. You have to think about winning. So when you think about winning, Sophie, will you do whatever it takes to make your team win? And if that means, Sophie, I have to play wide right and play right back for 87 minutes and we come away with a 1-0 win, that's what I've got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not, a lot of these guys are not prepared. Who's sacrificing themselves to help their mate? I don't see it. I see everybody plays safe. Feet, feet, feet. No, you've got to stretch the team. You've got to hurt them.
Do you think I'm crazy?
That's the hard part.
Okay, do you think I'm crazy to want players like, to now look back and appreciate players like Theo Walcott or players like that who were ripped for a long time for maybe, you know, Theo, but I think.
Again, 10 years ago, Theo was there. He was part of that culture.
But what I'm saying is at least when he was playing, he tried. We had players that used to try. You know what I mean? Let me get back to the Moss because, okay, Wenger stayed too long. You agree with me on that front. Mm. I think this one, the biggest problem of all, which is why we're in the situation we're in. One of the worst chief executives or bosses or executives, whatever his freaking job title was, Ivan Gazidis, making some of the worst deals in football history.
And again, you come down to the class and the quality and the culture of the hierarchy. When you saw David Dean operate, class act, Arsenal in his heart, wanted Arsenal to be the best, Sophie. That's the other thing. If the hierarchy want to be the best, then you go out and you sign the players that fit your football club. What we tend to do is go out and sign players because they're a name. Not that they fit, because they're a name.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans have bought into all this. It's bullshit. The fans have bought into it. But now the chickens have come home to roost. Because, Sophie, that culture of buying these guys and people, Xhakas and all that of this team, they are not good. They're not consistently good enough for Arsenal Football Club.
Do you know how much we paid? And you know, I like Xhaka, he's a good guy, but I can't defend him anymore. I just can't. I think we all have certain players that we've stood behind and there's just no defense. But to put this all on Xhaka, like everybody has done over the weekend, a lot of people have done, I think is really unfair. It's not just Xhaka's fault. This mess is not down to Xhaka. But we paid 41 million for Xhaka. 41 million pounds. Mm. 41 million. In fact, I'm gonna bring these in right now because part of my other comment on the moths side is you mentioned David Dean, and among moths, he was a butterfly. To be honest with you, he was a true executive. He made good decisions.
He was a king butterfly.
He was a king butterfly, and without him, we kind of went from dealing like a Fortune 500 company to dealing like Steptoe and Son. And got into really bad deals at the 11th hour, doing really terrible, terrible business. And let's look at this. Someone put this up today. I think it was UMI Arsenal, our good friend Mike over at UMI Arsenal. Maybe he retweeted it from somebody else. But Sócrates was an Emery buy. Ozil, Wenger, David Luiz, Emery, Mustafi, Wenger, Lacazette, Kolasinac, Elneny, Chambers, Wenger, Willian, Arteta, Aubameyang, Wenger, Leno, Emery, Xhaka, Wenger, Holding, Wenger, Soares, Runnison, Mari, Arteta, Tierney, Pepe, Tierney, let's not forget he was an Emery buy, Saliba, Martinelli, Emery, and Partey and Gabriel, Arteta. Anyone else I haven't mentioned, like Messi and Bellerin and Maitland-Niles and all those guys, they're youth players. So when you look at that, and you look at, and it's not just cheap money here, Casey. We've spent a lot of money, you know. So the myth that we haven't spent a lot of money, we have. We've just had people who have been making bad deals, doing bad things, right? So I'm going to get to the mosquitoes, right? The myths are what they are.
Where's the moth? Was that the moths?
The moths were Wenger stayed too long. Gazidis was a moth that stayed too long making bad deals. The board actually was, I think, a board that was there for years and years and years. Maybe I missed that one. Yes. Who in the end, Casey, and I skipped this one. Did they put the nail in one of the parts of the coffin for the Arsenal, the board members? Did they sell to the wrong man?
Well, I don't think it was about selling to the wrong man. I think it was all about greed and profit. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Because don't forget, Usmanov was shareholder. But do you know what, Sophie? They wouldn't let him on the board. Think about that. He's the second biggest shareholder, but they wouldn't let him on the board. Why wouldn't they let him on the board, Sophie? Because he would expose them. He wants what's best for Arsenal. Not about profit, but they worked it and worked it so they got him out. He wanted to buy Kroenke shares. Kroenke spun it round with help of everybody else and got him out.
Yeah, and Tony agrees with you right here. Okay, those are our moths. If anyone has more moths, I think there are a few more. I mean, you know, definitely. But Wenger Gazid is the board, and David Dean being the butterfly among the moths. Now the mosquitoes. This one's really big because as a player, this is where I need you the most, Super Kev. Mm-hmm. Arsenal to me have always been like a private club. And I say that with respect to anyone who has been a member or hasn't been a member of a private club. Because at a private club, you pay money to be a member and you don't expect your dirty laundry to be aired. And for me, Arsenal was one of those clubs where once you went inside the lines, you were protected by the privilege of playing for the club on the training ground, inside the dressing room. And we've talked about this a lot in our Inside the Dressing Room series. You were protected. You were given the anonymity, the privacy, and the discretion. Of course, your Tuesday club stuff, that's another thing. We can get to that in another show, but we're not going to talk about that one today. that's bonding.
Team bonding.
So now, to me, it feels like for the last few years, Arsenal has been full of mosquitoes. And by mosquitoes, I think you guys will know what I mean. You know, you could be having a nice sleep, and then all of a sudden you hear a buzzing in your ear. You're slapping on your face. You're trying to catch this goddamn thing. It bites you. It makes you bleed. It's really quite rancid little bloodsucker.
Yeah.
What's happening with... I think Arteta's a little rattled by thinking that maybe the way he was ruling the roost, it was working during the cup run. I think that his big decisions about Guendouzi and Ozil and Socrates maybe backfired on him as he wasn't expecting. And there's a little rat and there's a mosquito.
Sophie, listen well, everybody. The first time Mikel Arteta had an interview, he spoke about the culture. Got to change the culture because it's the mindset. Players will get exposed if you change the mindset because they're not those players. If it's not in you, Sophie, do you know what, Sophie? If it's not in you, you can't do it. We've seen Arsene Wenger have these players. We've seen Unai Emery have these players who got all the experience in the world. And now we've seen an inexperienced manager do something with them. But if it's not in you for the long haul, you're never going to do it. So what this does, it exposes the players. That's what Mikel Arteta has been doing. He knows now that they are not good enough, talent-wise and mentally, worst of all. Mentally, they're weak.
But has he, trusted the mosquitoes
He has to. He can't do anything else.
Okay, this is where we differ.
We're going to differ, but I'm going to say my bit and you say your bit.
Sure, go ahead.
He is not going to entrust a lot of these games with the kids. Here's the reason why. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned Alan Hansen saying you'll never win anything with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the leadership that Manchester United team had at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Robson, Bruce, Pallister, Hughes, leaders. Schmeichel, right throughout the spine of the team, Sophie. Mm-hmm. So when you put all these bits around it, fantastic. Who have Arsenal got? We haven't even got a captain.
But my point is those kids, when they've been called upon, they have, to me, Maitland-Niles and Tierney show more leadership and inspiration on the pitch when they're playing to the Xhakas of the world and the Aubameyangs and the Lacazettes. And I agree with you. They, even Gabriel right now, I mean, I would take the captain's armband off Aubameyang. I'd sit him out for a little bit. I'm sorry. This is where Arteta, I think, has to show. I don't care who you are. I don't care what the name is on the back of your shirt. The great Tony Adams said it the best.
Play for the shirt on the front, and they'll remember. The name on the back.
Exactly.
That's right.
And I think the reason why Arteta has lost some of the fans is if he'd have just changed it a couple of weeks ago, if he'd have just shown, you know what, they aren't leaders. They're not showing me. They threw me under the bus. I mean, Xhaka's behavior, Pepe, I expect it from him. He's young, he's immature, he's had a really hard time since he's been at Arsenal. It's not working out. He and Arteta don't get on, it's clear. Xhaka's behavior was, I can't even defend that. And I've been a defender of Xhaka, okay? And even when he took the shirt off and told Arsenal fans to F off and stuff, he won a lot of Arsenal fans back through his endeavor, through a lot of what he showed on the pitch. He never actually really super apologized or said sorry. He roundabout, in a way, explained how it meant from his point of view. So I think, agree with Mikey, he has to show a little bit of imagination now. Drop Oba, you know, drop Lacazette. Let Maitland-Niles and Tierney, Gabriel, grow into his role. Gabriel's the future. I know that it's going to be hard. And I think the thing is, Casey, and tell me if you agree, I would rather have lost 1-0 to Burnley at the weekend playing Willock, Smith-Rowe, Reece Nelson, whether these players are fit. I'm just spouting right now. I'm spouting names. Maitland-Niles. I would rather, I don't know what's going on with Saliba, but he's got to be at least better than Holding at this point. I would forgive that. And I think that's where the issue is. So help me understand your thinking in, he's still, on Wednesday, if he starts Willian, Aubameyang, Lacazette, that, tell me how you will feel about that.
The bottom line is, Sophie, I don't get too caught up in who he chooses to play. I don't, because I've been there and I know what it's about. And it's up to the manager. He has to feel within himself, does he trust them players? Does he trust them? I particularly don't think he trusts them youngsters. He trusts them in the Europa League, yes, in the group stage, because it's the level isn't that high. But when it comes down to the big games, they never really play. And that's what you're saying. They deserve a chance. But again, it's on his head, be it, Sophie.
I know, but remember when
you would say, they can't do any worse than what's already going on. Maybe they can't. Maybe they might have a jump. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it's all about Arsenal winning. So I don't know why Maitland-Niles isn't in. I don't know why Saliba isn't in. I have no idea.
I mean, this is what I agree with play, you know, folks like Extra One. Lampard managed to get top four with academy players last season. You know,
it's not quite, but
they were young players, though. But he did. He managed to make something out of nothing in a situation where he couldn't, you know, use the transfer window, and somehow he made it work. Now, I'm not comparing the two because
look at the squad.
It's very different. I mean, I understand they have more senior players. They have
Kante.
I know.
A lot of them youngsters are England internationals. That's
the
other thing.
But let me ask you this. Why is it when we want Pepe to work so badly because he's such an expensive signing, why is it we show patience wanting him to play week after week after week and we say, you know what, we just got to keep playing him. He's going to get better and better and better. Why is it then we have a different rule for someone like Willock or Reece Nelson or Emile Smith Rowe? Why can't we say, you know what? They're not going to change the world after one game. They need 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, right?
Manager's not willing to give them.
But that's where he loses the fans because he's not getting it at all, not one iota from any of the other senior players that he's playing. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road for fans who are Arteta. I'm not saying I'm not Arteta out. I'm just saying Arteta evolve. Just do something different with your team selection. And he could have done it for the last couple games, Casey. And we would have known where we're at when we get to Southampton.
He did change it against Leeds. He did. And he changed it. Hold on.
Two players.
Well, it's a change. How many players do you want him to change?
Yeah, but
himself?
He's still picked.
No. How many players do you want him to change?
Honestly, at this point, against Burnley, do you know what I would have done against a Burnley team? Not Southampton. Southampton. Okay, against Burnley, I would have dropped Aubameyang. I would have dropped Lacazette. Mm. I would have dropped Xhaka. I wouldn't have even had Ceballos on the bench. And I wouldn't have played Bellerin. Everyone else gets a shot to keep their place. And then I bring in the others. I bring in Maitland-Niles. I bring in Willock. I bring in Balogun or Eddie.
What about Saliba?
And I bring in Saliba. Thank you so much. I bring in Saliba. I throw him in and say, show me what you've got. You know what? Show me what you've got. You know why? Because that was the game to take the risk.
Yeah.
That was the game to give it a shot and say, let me see what these guys have got. At a home game in the middle of a blistery, wintry night against Burnley Football Club. What do these kids have? It's not Europa League. It's not EFL and it's not FA Cup. Mm. I think that's where a lot of Arsenal fans are just show me, Casey. Just show me a change and let's see. That's it.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is, Soph? This is what I truly believe is the problem. Mikel Arteta knows for his plan, he needs proper experienced players. Not necessarily older players, but he needs experienced players.
Mature players.
Yeah, mature. Like it's been in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years playing in the first team or whatever. Mature players who, you know, he can buy and plug and play. Okay. He doesn't quite trust these kids yet. And remember, I said it, was it last week? That transfer clock in his head, which he thought I'm going to have a couple of wins. No, that is going to be January now. That has to be. Because the experienced players are not good enough. And do you know what? What I always say, Sophie, when you got good experienced pros who can bring the youngsters through, it's easy to blood the youngsters. But the experienced players are struggling.
I know, but I don't think we have a manager. James just put it. James just came into the mix here with his comment. It's actually six, I think, James. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong. And again, I love it when chat corrects us, KC. Mm. The discipline since he's taken over isn't great. Listen to this, right? So I've given you my myths, my moths, and my mosquitoes. There's a lot of myths around Arsenal. There's a lot of moths that had been there for too long that helped bring the club to where it's at right now on its knees. And there've been a lot of mosquitoes in our time, telling stories and fibs, calling out players and making and airing our dirty laundry, which we were never a club to do that. And my point is, it is another nightmare on Arsenal Street. And this has been a horror movie years in the making. And it hasn't happened overnight. So to completely blame Arteta is wrong. To blame Emery is wrong. Okay. They inherited a mess, both of them. We became an institutionalized club with bad habits.
Broken culture.
Players coming and going as they please, being enabled. Ozil being able to duck out of training, going to away games. Whatever he wanted to do, he could do it whenever he wanted. And Emery put a stop to it. I know firsthand from someone who knows Unai that happened. I'm telling you guys right now, Ozil was a problem for him. He thought he was bigger than the players and everybody. This is not a lie. When people report this stuff about Ozil, it is not a lie. Does that make him a bad person or a bad humanitarian? No.
No.
Does it make Bellerin a bad person? Yeah. He's planting trees. No. But they're both played to play football and they haven't done that job well for years. So let's stop and get off this train. You know, like you have a family member and they're always causing problems and you're going to have another family party and your partner's like, we have to invite Brian. Oh my God, come on. He's just going to get drunk and he's going to cause problems. He'll spill wine over the new carpet. He'll upset grandma. No, we can't have Brian, but he's family. So you give Brian another chance, don't you, KC? You invite
Brian
him back.
Brian comes
the party.
Along and don't let you down.
Do you know how many Brians Arsenal have?
I like that one. So, but Arsenal got too many. They got too many, Sophie.
And when people say to you in chat, lace up, let's bring you on. Some of them really believe that you will do a better job. You know why? Because your heart, Casey, your passion. You know, we have.
Sophie, there's a saying.
Brian Jacker.
Sophie, there's a saying, right? You have to earn the right to play. Mm-hmm. It's been at Arsenal and in football for a long time. What that means is, Sophie, I'm talented and you're talented and you're the opposition. I have to outfight you and outthink you before I'm going to show you my talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not as talented as me, you're going to come with the grit and determination. That's what's going to make you beat me. But Arsenal haven't got it. And that's why the culture's been busted. That's why a player in present-day Arsenal turns around and says, oh, he was crazy because he wanted to win too much. What are you doing at Arsenal?
To me, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's sacrilege for me.
Yeah, completely. So, and you're right, Moose. So there are 25 Brians. We're going to get Brians. It looks like Brian's trending. And you're right. We have to apologize to, obviously, Brian Marwood because he doesn't fall into that category, Casey.
No, he was a good one.
He
was a good one.
All right. So what do we do? You're covering the game. Let's not talk about the Burnley game. We already know. For me, every player barring Tierney gets a 3. Everybody else gets a two. Was there anyone or anything in particular you saw, Casey, that made you happy against Burnley?
No.
Okay. No. So we're going to move on to, and thank you for joining us. We've got a ton of people in live chat right now. Thank you. If it's your first time you're joining, welcome to the Highbury squad. You're listening to Super Kevin Campbell, the legend, and myself, Sophie Nicolau. We're talking about myths, mosquitoes. We're talking about moths, the reality of where we've come from and where we are right now, rather than just go apocalyptic. Someone help me. Rather than go crazy about what's happening, we have to look at where we've apoplectic. Thank you, Casey. About where we've come from and where we're going. And in order for us to find the solution, and whether or not, if you sack Arteta, KC, does a new manager come in and make a difference?
And this is the thing about, this is the thing about what fans think about, you know, Arteta out and sack him. He's only the same dross that's there for the new manager. So the new manager might get a little bounce on them, but they're the same players. Any new manager that comes in Arsenal, let me tell you this, Arteta needs backing. He wants to change the culture, but he cannot change the culture with these players. He needs to change the players. Okay, great. Then that gives the youngsters a chance to be part of the culture. Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling you, the youngsters are seeing this first team, and they're like that. What's going on? How do you reckon it makes them feel? When they see the guys not performing and they don't get a chance.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't make my... Listen.
I've been there.
When I first started... KC, when I first started working at 20th Century Fox, I worked my ass off for a... It was when Star Wars... I'm going to show my age now, but when Star Wars first came out on DVD and I was part of the team and I was a junior product manager at the time, but I didn't get to go to Skywalker Ranch, right, for the big launch.
Yeah.
I mean... To be young in your career and to not get to go to Skywalker Ranch and meet George Lucas, that's a heartbreaker, right? Yeah. But I dug my heels in and I said, you know what? There's going to be another bloody Star Wars movie. I know it. And I'm going to go next time. And I will be at Skywalker Ranch when there is another release. And KC, you are 100% right.
What did you have to do? I had to work my ass off
and prove myself.
Thank you.
And so I did it in training.
So what you had to do, Sophie... Yeah. What you had to do, it wasn't about your boss. It wasn't about your boss.
It didn't matter who my boss was.
It was about you crossing that white line and performing.
But also, I wanted Brian Skywalker. I love when shows like this take their own life form. But the truth is that my boss at the time, you know, promoted someone else where I thought like I deserved the promotion. So I had to show that boss, and I respected that boss though, because I was like, wow, because that boss went on to do amazing. I'm not going to name the boss because they went on to do amazing things in the entertainment industry. But I was like, oh my God, that happened. And so there's part of this that some and a lot of folks in chat are saying, Casey, do they respect Arteta enough? What's happening when you see, and I'll bring the laundry list back to you, because apparently he and David Luiz aren't getting on. I'm not sure if I believe that. David Luiz has come out and put the kibosh on that today, right?
And listen, the rumors, always remember, Soph, and you know this being in the entertainment media, all these rumors start coming out. Mm-hmm. When things are going bad. When things are going good, you never hear them. They never come out. But anytime anything starts going a bit pear-shaped, you start hearing all of this stuff.
Well, listen, this is Denko saying Sir Campbell. I just had to put that on there because I'm like, that looks good. Sir Kevin Campbell. I like that one. That's a good one. It's true, because even in the 22 unbeaten game run with Unaia, I didn't hear peep from anyone. No one complained. Everyone was like, we've got our Arsenal back,
remember?
Right. Okay, so I'm going to let you go. I've kept you 4 minutes over time, which is, I'm in my 15-minute range here with Mr. Super Kevin Campbell, but we didn't do a show yesterday. Injury time. So listen, a question for you both, and you bring me to this one, because Casey is covering the game for Amazon Prime on Wednesday. So if you have Amazon Prime and you're in the European markets, I think it is, you will see Super Kev. He's doing Touchline. Are you on this?
Pitch side. Yeah, we're pitch side.
Lovely. And Casey, who is in your starting 11? Like, if I sacked Arteta, yes, at the weekend. Buenos dias, not buenos dias. Buenos Aires. Yeah.
Buenos dias. Yeah. Good evening. Good night. See you later.
Good evening, Mr. Arteta. You're fine. And I called up Kevin Campbell. You're the manager of Arsenal. You're picking Southampton's team, knowing, right? And I know you're not going to care what the fans think, but you do care because you love the fans. But you're going to make your decision as you see fit. Casey, what is your starting 11? And everyone in chat, give me your starting 11 for Wednesday's game.
Leno, Tierney, Gabriel, Saliba, Maitland-Niles. Holding midfield player will be Elneny. Ahead of him would be Ceballos and Saka. On the right hand side would be Reece Nelson. Through the middle would be Aubameyang, and on the left would be Pepe.
So, is Saliba? Can he play though in the Premier League? Is he? He's registered, right? We can play. Can we? So Pepe has to play. I agree with you. Who did you have in the middle? Aubameyang or Saka?
Yeah, Aubameyang.
Aubameyang through the centre.
Uh-huh. No. Saka was. Well, Nenny sitting. Mm-hmm. Ceballos and Saka ahead of him.
Okay. So you've dropped Lacazette.
Yeah. Lacazette. I dropped Lacazette.
Yep. Okay, we've got Leno, Tierney, Gabriel, Holding, Cedric. I would bring them all in. Leno, Cedric, Saliba, Gabriel, Tierney, Maitland-Niles, Elneny, Smith-Rowe, Oba, Pepe, Saka. Why doesn't anyone want to drop Aubameyang? Why does he get a pass, Casey? No, help me understand that one.
You see, I don't think it's a pass, Sophie. For me, it's not a pass. And has he been awful? Yeah, he's been awful. But you know what? He's a goal scorer. He's the best goal scorer we got. He's the best. And if you want me to pick a team to create chances, I want him to be the one finishing them. That's why I pick him.
I think you and Josh are alike. I like this team. Leno, Tierney, Gabriel, Holding, Bellerin, Elneny, Maitland-Niles, Ceballos, no for me. He just spins around like a record, man. He just, I love him. He can hold the ball and he's very good with the ball, Casey, and his distribution is good, but he's not been great lately. Who is the other option?
Who has? I mean, let's be honest. When he came on against Burnley, he helped the team a bit more. Not having Xhaka in there will help because I think he slows the play up. Something rotten.
I would give Willock another shot. I would.
What's
definitely
your team?
I would. Okay. Do you want to hear something crazy?
No, just tell me. Nothing's crazy because it's your
how
team.
Slow, and everyone in chat as well, jump in here. How slow was Leno distributing the ball at the weekend? Okay. Casey, are you holding your head because of my comment or because of Leno?
Because of Leno.
Thank you. Okay, good. I'm so happy you agree with me on that one. I mean, especially as a forward, where you were probably thinking, you know, 3.2 seconds.
We could do a quick ball.
You get your run, you move, right? And this is why I think, you know, I saw it even with, you know, we saw it with Willock, with Willian. I can't remember what game it was. You and I talked about it. He was begging Willian to make the run,
Was it Leeds? You wanted him to move up the pitch.
Yeah. And when I see, and I'm not saying, like, Martinez has had some, you know, difficult times with Aston Villa and stuff, but his distribution, his quickness, and his quick thinking is making a difference. And we saw that with some of the best teams, didn't we? Cech at Chelsea in his heyday. We saw it with Schmeichel at Man United. Even Schmeichel playing with Leicester in that year, even though they played disciplined football under Ranieri, there was times where, my God, he would distribute the ball and pass and just get players in positions. And so
up the pitch so quick to Mahrez and Vardy.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying Runnison is ready to play a Premier League game because I think we have our issues there. But my God, Leno needs to pick it up. I think he's escaped under the radar in this time a little bit, Casey. I'd give Cedric a shot at right back. I would play Gabriel. I would play. I'm gonna play David Luiz, don't ask me why. And I'm gonna play Tierney. And then I'm gonna put Maitland-Niles in midfield. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna play Maitland-Niles at right back. I'll put him in midfield and I want him playing with Willock. And who's the enforcer then? We got
El Neni was.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I'll have Pepe back in the side.
Mm-hmm. On the right or left?
I'm gonna have him on the right. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have Saka on the left.
Here we go, the big one.
I'm going to throw the kid up in the middle. I'm going to give him his. I'm going to throw in Balogun, and I'm going to put Aubameyang on the bench, and I'm going to put, hopefully he'll come on and score a super sub goal. I think that's what needs to happen. That's management, Casey. That's man management. You know it, and I know it. Tell me a time, real
Not
quick.
Not always.
Okay. When have you been benched and you're sitting on that bench and your ass is on fire, Super Kev, and you're like, I'm going to get on this pitch and I'm going to change this game and I'm going to score and he's going to suck it and I'm going to shove it right down his, I'm going to take his bollocks and shove it right down his throat.
Well, it happened quite a bit sometimes at Arsenal. But I've got to say, because the squad was so good, Sophie, this is the problem. If you're not performing, he's got so many players who could rotate and go in your spot that, you know, you'll be on the bench and you're thinking, I can't wait to get on and you don't get on. Or, you know, I can't wait to get on and you don't get on. But now, it's kind of untouchable, if you know what I mean. Aubameyang's kind of untouchable.
He shouldn't be, though. No player.
No, he shouldn't be, but there's a hierarchy.
There is, but look, okay, I understand. Josh is asking why we dropped Holding. I don't think we could blame Holding for what happened in Burnley, and I'm a Holding girl. He was a great guy. I mean, I get confused sometimes with my Arsenal players, Josh, to be honest with you, because I love them as people, but just as players sometimes I feel like
Let's put it this way. I expect Rob Holding to be playing well and Saliba to be playing well. I expect Saliba to be better.
But here's the scoop, Casey, and I want to gloss over this. Why is Oba? I'm surprised you of all people who, and listen, I think maybe you experienced the case of that. Ian Wright became untouchable at Arsenal.
That's right. Well, what makes you untouchable is you score goals. That's what happens. You score. You bet. You have the resume that backs you up, Sophie. That is the key. Because you know what happens, Sophie? You put him on the bench and you start creating a load of chances and nobody takes them.
But what if Balogun takes them?
Yeah, but if he takes them, great. But what I'm saying is, what tends to happen is you create a load of chances, then everybody goes, why have you got the best striker, one of the best striker with the best record sat on your bench?
But he has. I think he needs a lesson. I think he needs to be humbled a little bit. That's why. I think every player comes into.
Let me tell you. Don't you reckon this team have been humbled?
No, I don't. No, I don't think so, because there'd be a different performance and maybe a different result against Burnley. I think they're entitled little pricks, some of them. I think they wear the Arsenal shirt thinking that they're the biggest thing since sliced bread. But it's a privilege and an honour to wear that shirt. In fact, it's a privilege and an honour to wear any shirt of any Premier League club, like ever.
Let me just tell you something. Not every team's an Arsenal. Let me tell you. And I'm a man who's wore quite a few Premier League. Not every club's the Arsenal.
They're not.
So these players, this is why I can't believe that they're not being held accountable. It's Arsenal.
Hold on a second, LG. Where's Maitland-Niles acted like an entitled little prick? I think that's a little bit unfair, to be honest with you. They are a bunch of piss takers, most of them. Mustafi, Kolasinac, Xhaka, all these players. completely taking the piss, not moving when they had a chance to this summer. There weren't exactly hundreds of offers coming through for these players, Casey, but there were a couple on the table where they had the chance to go and they didn't, and they chose to collect the money. And you know what? We did that. We're to blame for that. I don't blame the players. But you know what? Don't act like an entitled little prick just because you wear the Arsenal badge.
You don't blame the players. Why not? Why have we done it? Why would you blame us?
We gave them the contracts.
No, you give them the contracts, but the players got to want to play, right? This is where you talk about going out and buying. You're buying the wrong characters. Again, you're talking about a culture again. That always comes back to the culture.
Okay, and also maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, maybe Alex is, but it's true. Arteta actually convinced some of them to stay. He convinced Xhaka to stay. He convinced Mustafi to stay. He wanted to offer him a new contract.
Mustafi to stay? No, that's spook story.
Is this another myth?
Story. How has he convinced him to stay, but yet he's leaving at the end of the season? That makes no sense.
Well, he offered him a new contract, Casey, which is trying to convince him to stay.
He did not offer him a new contract.
Are you sure about that?
I am 100% sure Mikel Arteta never offered Mustafi a new contract.
Really? Did he offer Luis a one-year extension?
Yeah, I think he did, because I think he sees Luis as the only leadership that's really in the dressing room. The main leader. And
So the stories of him offering Mustafi a contract is myth.
Myth.
Hmm. So why didn't he let Maitland-Niles go to Wolves then, if he wasn't even going to play him? We could have made money there.
Here's the other key,
yeah,
Sophie. When that was kind of going through, Maitland-Niles became an England international.
So we added more value to him.
Soon after that, he signed a new contract.
Pre-season. So we did that just to add value to him and then be able to sell him for more?
He's got a value. Which Premier League team sells an England international?
Arsenal.
Homegrown.
Arsenal.
You don't, because it sends out a bad message.
Well, Theo was not an England international.
But you see, the club are so encloaked by smoke and mirrors.
We sold the Ox.
Yeah, but Liverpool. He wasn't homegrown.
Well, he went on to win the Premier League and the Champions League.
But the point I'm making is, Arsenal apparently offered him more money than Liverpool. And
All
he
right.
chose to go to Liverpool. Why did he choose to go to Liverpool? Because he looked at both teams. One team is ambitious. The other team is pretend.
Okay, listen, I think we all agree, right? We're going to wrap up the show now. We've got to let Casey's got to go get ready for Southampton, but that's a day away, so we're giving him some time. Wait, we're back tomorrow, and we'll tell everyone why we're back tomorrow, Casey. So here's the scoop, Super Kev. We've gone through our myths, our moths, and our mosquitoes. We know that Arsenal have a lot of issues and problems. I think we all agree. Sokratis, Ozil, Mustafi,
Kolasinac,
Chambers, even for me. I will put Xhaka, Bellerin, Holding. Maybe Holding I'll hold. And that's it for me. Out. All gone.
How many is that? Seven?
That's seven. You can't do all of this in one transfer window. I mean, you've got to do it in... I mean, we've been trying, right? We've been trying to do a little bit.
Did you mention Ozil?
I did mention Ozil, yeah. I mean, he just is on the list anyway. We shouldn't even bring him up anymore. He should just be gone. You guys, go listen to our top five transfer show. It was the one before this. It's on the YouTube channel. You really enjoy it. We had Dan Potts from Same Old Arsenal on as well. And there's some really good stuff on there in terms of, you know, people leaving and people coming in. And we'd love your input on that as well. We are going to be with you pretty much all week, I think, Casey. We are back tomorrow with something a little bit different. In the meantime, in chat, let us know who your keepers are and who you're selling. your favourite 11 for Southampton, and let's get your score predictions in as well as I give you a little bit of an update. Tomorrow, we are going to be back at 7:30 p.m. for another episode of Inside the Dressing Room. And I've got to say, Casey, I'm looking forward to this one because it's players like this that give you some of the best stories and really appreciate you getting the boy, the man, the geezer that is Sean Goater.
Feed the goat and he will score.
Feed the goat. Oh, man. And talk about a player who was at a club that is now, you know, lauded in glory in Manchester City and being there during some of the toughest times as well. What a great career.
He's a legend.
Superb.
You know what? They love him at Man City, and rightly so, because he always seemed to score in the big games, you know, against Man United. He always seemed to score, which was great for him.
It was unbelievable. I love that. So we got
and
Sean Goater.
Top lad as well. Top man.
Brilliant. So we got Sean Goater tomorrow night inside the dressing room. Me, Casey and Sean. I'm just going to let them tell these great stories. And I know you guys will love it and enjoy it too. On Wednesday, I don't think I've told him this yet, but Casey, can we do your Kevin Sayers on Wednesday? Is that going to...
We'll see. No, we can't because I'm at the Emirates.
Oh, yeah, you're at the Emirates. So we'll do that after. So Wednesday's game day. So we'll see what we're doing on Wednesday. But we'll be back towards the end of the week as well with some other shows too.
Maybe Thursday.
We'll squeeze Kevin Sayers maybe on Thursday, especially after the Southampton game, and he would have been there pitch side as well. Listen, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Nobody right now, Casey, is giving us a chance. To win the game. Mostly 3-5, 4, 2-0 here, 3-1 to Southampton here from one of our regulars. Thank you, Nadine, for listening as usual. We appreciate you.
Thanks, everybody. And I don't blame them for not giving us a chance. I know we're the Arsenal and all that, but the players are not showing enough application. They're not.
Yeah.
And what's Southampton are third in the league. Their tails are up.
The table doesn't lie. And Josh coming in with the joke of the day. I love it. A big fat eight. I like that.
I love that, Josh.
2-2. And then, KC, thank you so much, Herb. We appreciate that. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in. A lot of people in chat tonight. We really appreciate you. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. If you feel inclined to hit the like button, please do so. We don't usually ask or beg, but we will definitely require that politely. KC, what is your prediction?
Listen, I'm predicting a draw. That's the best I can do. You know, I always tend to be positive. That's as positive as it gets this time, Sophie. That's as positive as it gets. 1-1.
Is Theo going to score against us?
Oh, my God. Well...
Do you know what, Sophie?
It wouldn't surprise me because we're all over the place at the moment.
I don't think he'd celebrate though either, Theo. I don't think he would.
No, I don't think he would.
No.
Anthony Herbert, I agree with you. One each. I don't think he would celebrate.
This is my favourite one so far. Come on, you Bryans. All right, KC, I've kept you 23 minutes in VAR time. You are a legend. Thank you so much.
I want a transfer.
No, come on. I'm keeping you. I'm going to give you a pay rise.
You're keeping me too long.
I know. But the people want you, Casey. What am I going to do with you? The people want you. All right. Thanks very much.
You've got to leave them wanting me.
Leave them wanting more. Well, I don't get you for another one of these kinds of shows until Thursday, but we'll do tomorrow night with Sean and that'll be fun and a little bit different. Until then, Casey, tell everyone. Tell them all.
We don't like them, but we love them. Come on, you gutters!